This morning, I started the drasha by saying that one of the first things that we learn in school when we start learning Gemara is that there are certain ground rules that a Tana can't argue with an Amora, or rather, an Amora can't argue with a Tana, Rishon can't argue with a Gemara, and an Achron can't argue with a Rishon. But the truth is, I skipped a step because there was something even before that, and that is that a Tana can't argue with a Pasuk. So clearly, if a Tana can't argue with a Pasuk, Kal v'chomer, an Amora can't argue with a Pasuk, and neither can a Rishon, and certainly not, well, it's up, of course, it's for anybody to argue with a Pasuk, but one would imagine certainly not an Achron. We read Pesukim this morning, Ki ha-mitzvah azos asher anochi mitzavcha ayom lo nefleisi mimcha v'lo rechokihi, lo b'shamayim hi le'mor mi'yal lanu ha-shamayim v'kachel lanu. This mitzvah, the mitzvah of, according to the Ramban, tshuva, is a mitzvah that's not beyond us, it's not distant from us, it's not in the heavens that we have to ask who's going to go up to the heavens to get it for us. It's not on the other side of the ocean, that we need to ask who's going to go to the other side of the ocean to get it for us. It's very close to us, it's very near to us. So it's already in our mouths, it's already in our hearts. It's just there for the taking. All you have to do is take it. There's a famous comment, unclear exactly who said it, but I always thought it was Rav Yisrael Salanter. I heard someone quote from Chaim V'lashner, from one of the G'dolei HaAchronim, that to break a single midah, to do tshuva on a single midah ra'a, to change even just one midah that a person has, is more difficult than to learn all of Shas. So there you have it. An Achron, whether it be Rav Yisrael Salanter, whether it be Rav Chaim V'lashner, seeming to argue on Beferish HaPesukim. The Pesukim tell us it's easy, it's right there, it's there for the taking, it's Beficha, it's Bilvavcha, it's not Bashamayim, it's not Me'ev Eliyam. And then we have Achronim telling us just how difficult and how challenging it is. But the thing is, if it's an Achron against the Gemara, so normally you would say, or an Achron against a Pasuk, normally you'd say, okay, it's not Bikursus, or the Pasuk is obviously right, but over here, obviously, it's not an option. Whichever nusuch you have of who said it, it's not an option to just say it's apikorsus. And intuitively, we know that they're right. We know that if a person is a balgaiva, if a person is a balkas, whatever the midah is, we know that it's extremely hard. It doesn't feel easy. There's nothing simple about it. So, begs the question, what in the world does the pasuk mean? That it's beficho v'lvavcha la'soso? And it gets even scarier when you read the Rambam's formulation of how you do tshuva. The Rambam describes, obviously, the three-step process we mentioned earlier today. Charata ala avar, vidoy, kabbalah ala asid. Those are the clear three-step process of tshuva. But the Rambam then defines each step, and the definition of kabbalah al ha'asid is frightening. Kabbalah al-Asid, I always pictured as, you know, if you do something wrong and someone says, you know, like let's say I do something that I shouldn't have done, and my wife says, why did you do that? Okay, I'll try not to do that again. Kabbalah al-Asid. It's not the way the Rambam understands it. The Rambam says, Kabbalah al-Asid means, Yeyid alav yodea ta'alumos. A person has to be at the stage where he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself would testify about him that he will never do this again. That's how distant he becomes from the Avera. That's the way we do tshuva. To be so far from the sin that we know, that God knows, I will never ever get angry when I'm not supposed to. I will never ever look at something I'm not supposed to. Never! How is that possible? How does one get to that point where they can have the confidence that Yayuda love Yodea Ta'alumos? What does it mean that it's easy? It's easy to do this? This doesn't seem easy at all. Not only that, typically when we try to make commitments to do something, we don't only fail, but we fail spectacularly. Just in yeshiva this past week, our Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Kamenetsky, quoted, I don't know where he saw the stat, but he said that some statistic he saw somewhere that of the weight lost by people as a result of New Year's resolutions, we gain back not 50% of that weight, not 80% of that weight, not 100% of that weight, 110% of that weight. So when a person resolves to lose 20 pounds, you could bet a few months later he will weigh 2 pounds more than he did at the time that he resolved to lose 20 pounds. We try to make commitments, we try to change, and we fail spectacularly. It doesn't feel like it's karav elecha adavar me'od. It doesn't feel like something that's just so easy, that's so beficha and so belvavcha, that's so there for the taking. And when we consider accomplishments in Torah, you say, okay, so I don't pass like the Ramban. I hold like the Rambam, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Hey, those Pesukim aren't talking about tshuva. Tshuva's impossible. It's talking about Torah, Talmud Torah. That's karav elecha adavar me'od. So for many of us here, we've been going on a journey through the Yam HaTalmud for the past 7 years. And we're half a year away from the completion, pretty much. A little more than half a year, 3/4 of a year. Okay, almost a full year. Away from the completion of Shas Bavli. And for those who have been going through that experience, or even if you haven't been doing the Daf Yomi, but whatever learning you've been doing, especially if you're learning Gemara in a serious way, there are a lot of ways to describe that experience. It's exhilarating at times. It's very rewarding at other times. Satisfying, enriching, sets the tone for my day. But easy? That's certainly not easy. If it were easy, the same 40 people in a 25-person shul that showed up for Brachos Dav Beis would still be there. What are we up to? Chulin Dav Tzadi. So it's anything but easy. So, what does it mean? Karav elecha adav me'od, b'ficha v'lvavcha la'soso. So I saw in Rav Schlesinger's sefer, Eleheim O'adai, he quotes an explanation from Rav Albi and Ali Shor. Rav Albi explains that karov doesn't mean easy. That's a terrible translation of the word karov. Karov in this context doesn't mean geographically close, obviously, because we're talking about a concept, we're talking about an idea. Closeness means that it's part of our DNA, that it's part of who we are, it's part of the way we define ourselves. And all we have to do is look inside of ourselves, unlock that potential, and unlocking it is challenging in the extreme. But it's not something we're going to find somewhere else. It's something that once we're able to unlock, it's quite natural. And we'll feel that that's what we were born to do. We feel a certain comfort level with it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us a neshama that's supposed to operate in that way. Valdo explains, when we learn, you know, the human mind is always interested in learning new things. Most things that we learn, we're taking in from the outside. And we're accepting it into our mind, hopefully amassing knowledge, becoming enriched. But when we learn Torah, it's not something that we're taking in from the outside. We're getting it from our kishkas. We're getting it from ourselves. It's there to begin with. Put in other terms, this Rav Soloveitchik explained the famous Gemara in Nida about how a baby inside the mother's womb is taught Kala Torah Kula, and then he gets a little patch before he goes out and he forgets all the Torah. I think it's one of the only two Vartlach from Rav Soloveitchik quoted in the Stone Chumash, if I'm not mistaken. Rav Soloveitchik explained that what's the point of learning all that Torah if you're only going to forget it anyway? It's because it just makes it a part of you. It's familiar. When you go back to the Torah later in life, and we spent a lifetime learning it and going back to what we were taught in our mother's womb, so it's comfortable. It resonates with us. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us. The natural state of a Jew is to follow Torah and perform mitzvahs. If we're not doing that, we're not in our comfort zone. So observing Torah is not easy, but it's who we are. So why is it so hard to unlock if it's really who we are? Why is it so difficult to get to that point where Yair Alav Yodea Talumos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be made about us, that we're not going to do Averus anymore? Why is it so difficult 7.5 years to get through Shas, and that's challenging, extremely challenging? Why is that so challenging? You know, when they started the Daf Yomi, Rav Shachty used to tell us that a lot of the Hasidish Rebbes were very upset. They said, what, only a Daf a day? Are you kidding me? It's a little much more than a daf a day. They thought it would be a churban HaTorah. One of the Hasidic yeshivas of Shachtemen and Alta Yid, he said that one of the Hasidic yeshivas, they were tumbling. They heard about this idea that there was going to be a daf a day, and they didn't hear about the idea. Actually, they just heard daf yomi. Rav Meir Shapiro, daf yomi, started this thing called daf yomi. Rav Meir Shapiro. And one of the Bachrim said to the other Bachar, "What's this daf yomi? What's going on?" He said, "I don't know. Apparently, it's a sefer of apikursis that Rav Meir Shapiro wrote. Some type of terrible thing, churban atayra. And it's so challenging for us. It's so hard. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to do mitzvahs? Why is it so hard to do tshuva if it's so much a part of us?" So the answer is we have a yetzer hara. And the yetzer hara has a certain kind of trick. The yetzer hara takes something that's right under our noses and right there for the taking and convinces us that it's very distant from us, that it's beyond us, that it's not something we have the ability to do. So the objects in mirror are closer than they appear. That's the Yetzer Hara. It's much closer. He just makes it look so much further away. Chazal give us some insight into how he does that. Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Hei. Lo yevecha el zar, velo sishtachav ele el nechar. Shouldn't have a foreign god. You shouldn't bow to any foreign gods. Ezehu el zar sheyesh begufa shel adam. What is the foreign god that is in a person's body? Haviyomer ze yetzer hara. That's the yetzer hara. Strange way of speaking. It's a foreign god in our body. But maybe it's not about being a foreign god. It's a god of foreign things. The Yetzer Hara convinces us that Torah, Tefillah, Avodas Hashem, a fundamental part of our DNA, a fundamental part of who we are, is a foreign substance. It's something that needs to be rejected. It's something that our bodies can't handle. He gets us to look at Torah like it's a stranger, something that we have no connection, no emotion, no understanding, no love for. It's strange. It's a foreign concept. Imagine if you have a relative who you love and cherish, and the relative looks you in the eye and says in all seriousness, "Excuse me, do I know you?" That's what the Yetzer Hara gets us to do with Torah. It's supposed to be something we love, something we cherish. And it seems foreign to us. As an example, to illustrate the point, the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Chilfa Barigra, Shamra Mishum Rabbi Yochum Menuri, Hamikareya begadav bichamaso, v'amishaber kelov bichamaso. If a person tears his clothing in anger, or breaks things in anger, v'amafazer ma'osav bichamaso. Someone gets rid of all of his money in anger. Wouldn't be bad to be around that guy. Yehei be'enecha ka'ovid avodah zarah. You see someone doing that, just acting in anger, you should view him like a person who's ovid avodah zarah. Shekach umnaso shel yetzer hara. That's the way the yetzer hara works. And the Gemara goes on to say, "Maikra, where do we see that in the pasuk? Lo yevcha el zar, v'lo sishtachav ele el nechar." The yetzer hara is a god of foreignness. I think what the Gemara is trying to do is it's trying to paint a picture, because there are very few negative out of body experiences quite like getting angry. A person is in a real rage. It's extremely angry. You look back, we look back at ourselves afterwards in our time of anger, and we wouldn't even recognize ourselves. We're not thinking like ourselves, we're not acting like ourselves, we're not speaking like ourselves. We become a complete stranger to ourselves when we're angry. For instance, there's no human instinct probably quite as strong as the instinct for self-preservation. And what does a person do when he's angry? He self-destructs. He alienates those people who are closest to him and care most about him. And he just completely self-destructs. Look at the examples the Gemara gives. Mishaber kelav b'chamaso. He's not breaking other people's kelim. He's breaking his own kelim. Mefazer ma'osav. He's just getting rid of all of his own money. Who is he hurting? He hurts himself. He's completely out of his mind. He's not himself. Anger is an example, but that's exactly what the El Zar is. That's what the Yetzer Hara is. He takes us and he convinces us to be something that's not who we really are. And tshuva is the process of finding the real us. Finding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us on this earth to do. If a person is more comfortable in a movie theater or in a baseball stadium than he is in a Beis Medrash, then the Yetzer Hara has succeeded. And he takes things that, you know, good, bad, or parv, aren't who we are, and makes that part of our comfort zone. And takes things that are who we are, that are our goals in life, and makes it something that's foreign to us. Well, then that's the success of the Yetzer Hara. If we ever reach a stage in life where we open up a Gemara, and if we were to try to sit across from a Chavrusa and learn the Gemara, we'd feel lost. Like, what are we supposed to do now? This is so weird. Well, then we failed spectacularly. That's the success of the El Zar. Taking that which is supposed to be so familiar to us, so fluent to us, and making it unfamiliar. So in order to do tshuva, we need to find ourselves. I think there are two stages. First, we need to recognize that there's a problem. I told the story recently of Moshe Weinberger mentioned that a bacher came over to him and said, you know, I've been thinking, I've been doing a cheshbon nefesh, I have a Kabbalah I wanted to take, I wanted to run it by the Rebbe, what do you think about this Kabbalah? Moshe Weinberger said he was so excited that the boy had been thinking, because this was someone who really needed to make some new Kabbalah, someone who very desperately needed to do some tshuva. And the bacher said, yeah, I wanted to be mekabel to wear a gartel. And he said, take my gartel, what do you have a gartel? $5, you get a gartel. You have to first recognize what you're looking at. You have to first look at what our issues are. We have to have that open mind to look at ourselves. The Rambam describes tshuva happening in two ways. In Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam describes a very methodical process, like we said before. Rav Kook points out, and the Rambam describes more in Nevuchim a little bit, a completely different kind of tshuva. Rambam Mor Nevuchim, actually when he's talking about Nevuah, describes the mashal of a person standing in a pitch black field. Think about like being upstate, no natural light, no unnatural light, no street lights, middle of the night. And then, you know, in those major storms that you have upstate sometimes, a bolt of lightning, and everything's illuminated for a split second. That's a second kind of way to reach tshuva. The person just wakes up one morning and says, where am I? Who am I? What am I? What happened? That's step one. And then we have to take that recognition and we have to get ready. You know, we don't have too many days of slichos before Rosh Hashanah this year. You know, you think about how people respond to the question, are you ready for Rosh Hashanah? So you ask your wives, are you ready for Rosh Hashanah? Well, I worked out the menu for this, but not for that. We ask ourselves, we ask each other, are you ready for Rosh Hashanah? And what's the answer? Well, I haven't finished up all the work that I haven't taken care of, exactly what I need to do in my office. I'm getting close. I'm no different. Are you ready for Rosh Hashanah? I didn't even start preparing my drasha. Shabbat Shuva right after. Are we ready for Rosh Hashanah? It's an entirely different question. It's not about menus. It's not about work schedules. It's not about drushes. I'm going to give one anyway, but it's not about drushes. Are you ready for Hashanah? Do we look at ourselves? Do we walk into a room and feel that there's anything different because Rosh Hashanah is just a couple of days away? Okay, the white helps. Seeing the white, that's good. We feel a different mood. Chatzos is not for another 2 minutes. I can go 2 minutes over time. And last thing. Once we've achieved that recognition, it doesn't make tshuva easy. Karav Eilecha again is not easy. It even seems beyond our capabilities to do. But the thing is, when a person is feeling good about himself, when a person's in a good mood, they could do things that they normally can't do. You have that extra spring in your step. And all of a sudden, you're able to accomplish things much more quickly. a Yaakov Avinu could see a giant stone that nobody could lift, but he sees a Rachel Imenu and woof, flies right off, no problem. How do we get to that good mood, that good place, that balance, that happiness? Well, that's Karov Eilecha Adav Ramaon. It's about finding who we are, what we're put here for, about that Neshama Tahora that's in all of us. And how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Torah and Tshuva something that's so easy. Not easy in the sense that it's easy to do, but it's easy to find, because it's right there. And there's nothing that satisfies a person, that makes a person feel more gratified, than when he feels like he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He feels like all his talents are being used. He feels like he's living up to what he's here to do. People who hate their jobs usually hate their jobs, not because of the long hours necessarily. They hate their jobs because they feel like their talents are being underutilized, underappreciated. People who love their jobs usually don't have easy jobs. They love it because they feel like their talents are being utilized. That's the point of simcha that we're supposed to reach. And then, it truly becomes b'ficha uv'vavcha la'asosa.